In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Many of us ignore the importance of fighting one sin in our life. And we say, as long as we are growing in our spiritual life with God, we don't think that this one sin may ruin our life. But actually, as we'll see tonight, one sin can destroy our life. One sin can separate us from God if we don't pay attention to this sin and if we don't fight it. And the example that we'll study tonight, the example that we'll study together tonight is the example of one of the judges of Israel who was a mighty man, who was a Nazarite to the Lord, and God chose him to deliver the children of Israel, but he allowed one sin to control him, and as we'll see how this sin destroyed him. We'll speak tonight about Samson. Samson is one of the judges of children of Israel, and you can read his story in the book of Judges, starting from chapter 13. Chapter 13, the angel of the Lord appeared to his parents and announced to them they will have a son, and this son will be a Nazarite to the Lord. This son will be a Nazarite to the Lord. And there were three requirements for the Nazarite. The Nazarite should keep three vows in his life. And you can read about these vows in Book of Numbers, chapter 6. Do you know what are these three vows for a Nazarite? What are the three vows of Nazarite? No wine. Very good. The Nazarite shouldn't drink any wine. Very good. Yes. Exactly. And second vow, he shouldn't shave his hair. And the third vow? What's the third vow of a Nazarite? Very good. Who can't touch anything dead or unclean. These are the three vows. He cannot drink wine or alcohol. Not only not drink wine or alcohol, but see if you read in Book of Numbers chapter 6, verse 4, all the days of his separation or his consecration, he shall eat nothing that's produced by the grapevine, not even the seeds or the skins. What does it mean, not even the seeds or the skins? He cannot even eat the grapes. He cannot even eat the grapes. So not only he shouldn't drink wine, but also he shouldn't even eat the skin of the grapes or the seed. Why? Why the Nazarite should keep these three vows? Let's discuss them one by one. Why he shouldn't drink wine or alcohol? Why? What's the importance of this? Why? Leads to sin. What sin? Alcoholism can lead to any kind of sin. That's right. What else about alcohol? Doesn't keep you sober, which means I lose control over myself. I'll be controlled by wine. Exactly. And as children of God, as Nazarite, as a person dedicated to the Lord, nothing should control me except the Holy Spirit. So the children of God should be controlled only by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit. But alcohol can control me. And people, after some time of drinking, they become alcoholic or addicts, which means they lost self-control. And in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, it says, a person without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. So, if we don't have self-control, if we are controlled by alcohol, we are like destroyed city broken into and left without walls. And also, people sometimes drink alcohol a sign of joy or merry. But the children of God rejoice in the Lord. As St. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And that's why the Nazarite shouldn't drink alcohol. Why? For two reasons. Because he shouldn't be controlled by anything except by the Spirit of God. And also, he should rejoice in the Lord. And this reminds us how we celebrate our graduation or our weddings. Do we rejoice in the Lord? Or do we rejoice as the world rejoices? Is there a difference between us and the children of the world? Or we are conformed to the world? St. Paul in Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. We are called to be transformed, not to be conformed to the world. And the second vow, he shouldn't cut his hair. Why? Why he shouldn't cut his hair? Very good. He shouldn't care about the outwardly appearance. What he should care more about is his spirit, how his spirit looks like. So, even if from outside he looked different, it's okay. And as you know, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in the Old Testament, and until now, it is improper for men to have long hair. It's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So actually, when the Nazarite doesn't cut his hair, he will look weird. But the message here, God is saying to his children, it is okay to be different from the world. This shouldn't bother us. Sometimes we want just to be conformed to the world. But no. As I told you, we are children of God, should be transformed, not conformed. It's okay to be different. How we look, and how we dress, and how we cut our hair. Unfortunately, sometimes we forget this, and we try to be conformed to the world. And the third thing about the third vow, what's the third vow? He shouldn't touch any dead body or any unclean thing. Why? Why? To keep himself what? Exactly. This means to keep himself always pure, to care about his purity. So, by not touching any dead body, this will remind the person that is right all the time that he should keep himself pure and clean all the time. But Samson had weakness in his life, has one weak point in his life. Do you know what was his weakest point? Courage? Actually, courage, like this, the Samson was a mighty man who was able to kill the lion without having anything in his hand. He fell in the wrong hand. That's right. The woman. Yeah. Actually, his weakest point was his lust. His lust. He didn't have control over his lust. Although he was a very, very mighty man, but when it comes to women, or when it comes to his lust, he struggles. He cannot resist. So, in Judges chapter 14, it says, Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah, he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. Then he came up and told his father and mother, I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. But his father and mother said to him, is there not a woman among the daughters of your kinsmen, or among all your people, that you must go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. His father and mother did not know that it was from the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. At that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah, and he came to the vineyard of Timnah. And my first question to you here,
Do you think Samson was allowed to go to Timnah as a Nazarite? Was okay for him to go to Timnah? Yes or no? No, why not? Yes. Ida? Very good. As we read, in Timnah, there were vineyards. There were grapevines. And as a Nazarite, he shouldn't touch or eat any vine. And see here, how Samson, because of his sin, because of his lust, started to do what? To break one by one his vows. We will see he will break the three vows. And now he started by breaking the first vow. He went to Timnah, and there were vineyards in Timnah. And as a Nazarite, he shouldn't go there. There are some places here. تعال ممكن تقعدوا هنا بدل ما تبقوا. And he wanted to marry a girl from Philistine. In this decision of marriage, he made three mistakes. Can you tell me what are the three mistakes that he made in this decision? And actually, many of our youth do the same mistakes when they get married. Can you tell me what are the three mistakes that he did? What are the three mistakes that he did? Arhal Kutani? Yes. Maybe he ate. To put down the volume شوي. Yes. Yes. He said to his parents, because she pleases me well. Which means his decision of marriage was based on what? On physical attraction. She pleases me well. So the first mistake that he made the decision of marriage based on physical attraction. What else? He two other mistakes in this decision of marriage. Yes. He asked to get married from a foreigner and circumcised Philistines. And I'll explain this, but just to know what are the three mistakes, and then I'll explain them in detail. So the second mistake, he wants to get married from a foreigner. And the third mistake, yes, very good. He didn't obey his parents. He was disobedient to his parents. These are the three mistakes. And I'll speak about them one by one. The first one, he based his decision of marriage on physical attraction only. And as we'll see later, this woman and her family had no morals, no values, no spirituality. We will see together. But because he made his decision only based on physical attraction, he was blind, totally blind, to the morals and values of this family. And I want to warn you here, when you think about marriage, don't base your decision of marriage on physical attraction. Because after some time, this attraction will be gone. And you will stuck with the character. So, if the person has morals and values, you will live happy life. But if the person has no morals or no values, as we'll see in this woman, this will destroy your life and ruin your life. So it's very important when we think about marriage, we shouldn't base our decision of marriage on physical attraction. Physical attraction after some time, 6 months or 1 year, it's gone. It's gone. The second is about foreigner. And let me tell you here what do I mean by foreigner. As his father told him, is there not a woman among the daughters of your kinsmen or among all your people that you must go to take a wife from uncircumcised Philistines? Why the father used the word uncircumcised? What is the importance of circumcision in the Old Testament? Yeah, it's a different religion. But what's the importance of circumcision in the Old Testament? Exactly. Circumcision is the symbol of covenant between God and his people. So, in the Old Testament, if a person is circumcised, means he is belonging to the people of God. If he is not, then he is foreigner in faith. And circumcision in the Old Testament symbolizes what in the New Testament? Baptism. So if we want to rewrite this verse to fit the New Testament, we replace the word uncircumcised by the word what? Unbaptized. So let me read it to you right now. Is there not a woman among the daughters of your kinsmen or among all your people that you must go to take a wife from the unbaptized? Which means the Bible is against marriage from foreigners in faith. Why? Because the two shall become one. If they are foreigners in this, if they are different in their beliefs, in their faith, how the two shall become one? So, when you get married, try to find a person who is orthodox like you. And the third point, he disobeyed his parents. He didn't even listen to them. He didn't discuss their concern. Yani, his father said to him, is there not a woman among the daughters of your kinsmen or among all our people that you must go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. He didn't even discuss the concerns of his father. He just told him, get her for me, for a wife. Get her to me as a wife. He didn't discuss the concerns. He just disregarded and disobeyed his parents. And that's why he suffered later on. And I want to tell you this, because most of us, we don't obey our parents. And we don't listen to their advice. And we don't consider their advice, or we don't regard their advice and take it seriously. And this is not right. And let me tell you this. Your parents have experience more than you, if you like it or not. They do. That's the experience of the days. They went through all what you are going through. So, when you make a decision of marriage, you have to receive the blessing of your parents. And if they have concern, don't do like Samson. Discuss it with them. Give it some time. Pray about it. Go talk to your priest about it. Take their concerns seriously. If you listen to them, and if you take their concerns seriously, maybe you will save your life from bigger problem later on. But Samson didn't listen. And he insisted to get married to this woman. Then, on the way to Timnah, something happened. Verse 5 says, then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah, and he came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he tore the lion asunder as one tears a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. What is the story of this lion? You know, Samson broke one of his vows right now. And he is going to get married from uncircumcised against the law of the Old Testament. And then there is a lion here attacking him. And we see how God delivered him from the lion. He helped him. He gave him power and strength to kill the lion and to tear the lion apart, although he had nothing in his hand. Why God did this for Samson? Is there a message for Samson here? Why God helped Samson to kill the lion? To give him a chance to repent. Very good. God wants everybody to repent. So by saving his life, he's giving him a chance to repent. What else? Why God saved Samson from the lion? Why? Yes. So in spite that Samson broke his vow, and also he went to get married from uncircumcised Philistine against the law, but still God demonstrated his love to Samson. So God loves us even when we sin. God loves us even when we sin, because God is love and God doesn't know hatred. So he loves us. That's very good. What else? Yes, that's very good. Let me rephrase what he said. If you walk right now in the street and you find a lion, what do you feel? Very scared, very weak. And the lion will, you know, you will be very, very scared that the lion may kill you. Right? Every one of us has a spiritual lion in his life. What do you mean a spiritual lion? The weakest point, the point that controls you. Maybe this lion is your anger. Maybe this lion is lust. Maybe the lion is smoking. Maybe lion is alcohol. Maybe the lion is drugs. This is a lion in your life. And sometimes we feel we cannot fight this lion. I cannot fight the lion. I am so weak to fight the lion. How many times sometimes when you go in confession, you say to Abuna, I tried several times to control my temper and not get angry, but I cannot. I tried several times to forgive my friend, but I couldn't. I don't know how to forgive. I tried several times to quit smoking, but every time I try, I fail. I tried several times to quit drinking. I tried to quit going to nightclubs. I tried to quit to control my lust, but I'm controlled by it. I tried to quit this bad habit, but I couldn't. This is the lion in your life. So what was the lion in Samson's life? It was his lust. This is the lion in Samson's life. So God wanted to teach Samson a lesson here. See, Samson, you have nothing in your hand, and there is a lion. But if I am with you, if my spirit is with you, you can kill the lion only by relying on God, only by having the spirit of God inside you. So before going to Timnah, God wants to teach him a lesson that Samson, you can control your lust. You can make a decision not to marry this girl. You have the power to do it because I am with you. I who helped you to kill the lion, even you had nothing in your hand, you have nothing in your hands, I will help you to kill the lion that attacks and threatens your spirit. That's your lust. This is the lesson here about the lion. And I want every one of us right now to think, what is the lion in your life? What is the lion that threatens your spirituality and your eternal life? Think about the lion and pray to God and ask God to help you with his spirit to kill this lion. You may say, but I have nothing in my hand. Well, Samson didn't have anything in his hand, but only with the spirit of God was able to kill the lion. And we, through the spirit of God, we can kill the lion that threatens our spiritual life. But Samson didn't learn the lesson. Didn't learn the lesson and get married to this girl. And then, as the custom was, they meet feast 7 days. And Samson tried to went to the people of the Philistines and told them, I'm going to tell you a riddle. And if you answer it, I will give you 3 linen garments and 30 festal garments. If you couldn't answer it, you give me 30 linen garments and 30 festal garments. And what was the riddle? out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. And as you know, after he killed the lion, the following day he went to the lion and he found bees and honey in the carcass of the lion, and he ate from the honey and gave also to his father and mother to eat from the honey. And here is my second question to you. Do you think Samson was allowed to eat from this honey? No, why not? Yes. Yes. Huh? Wasn't pure? Lamin Alan wasn't pure. Why it wasn't pure? The lion? Exactly. I told you one of the three vows, he shouldn't touch any dead body, and the lion was dead. So, if he touches the lion, or if he eats from the honey, this again breaking the second vow. He cannot touch any dead body. But he broke the vow, and then went and gave them the riddle about the lion. And of course, the answer of the riddle is very easy. Out of the eater is the lion, came something to eat, that is the honey. And out of the strong, that is the lion, came something sweet, that is the honey. But of course, the Philistines, they did know the story of the lion, so they couldn't answer. So what happened? Verse 15, on the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband to tell us what the riddle is, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us here to impoverish us? And I want you to put yourself in the situation of Samson's wife. What you should do? What you should do? Here, her relatives threatening her, if she didn't tell them the answer, they will burn her and her father's house with fire. So, what you should do? If you are in the position, in the place of Samson's wife, what would you do? Yes. What did Michael did to David? Exactly. If she is a faithful wife, she should save her husband. She should go to him and tell him, my relatives are threatening me with so and so, and maybe they pray together about it, and God will solve the problem one way or another. But she didn't do this. You know what did she do? You're like Ian. Like, and Samson's wife, verse 16, Samson's wife wept before him and said, you only hate me, you do not love me. You have put a riddle to my countrymen, and you have not told me what it is. And I want you to see here how they are using the word love in a wrong context. So she is telling him, if you love me, you will tell me. But of course, that's not right. Then she told and she wept before him, says, the 7 days that their feast lasted. So the 7 days of the feast, she wept before him the seven days. يعني نكدت عليه 7 أيام بتوع الفرح. كده بيقول لك. She wept before him the 7 days that their feast lasted. And on the seventh day, he told her. قال لها ليه؟ Because on the seventh day, he told her, because she pressed him hard. She was putting pressure on him. But actually, he put himself in this pressure because he got married to a person who is not religious and foreigner in his faith, from his faith. But because of the pressure, he told her. And what did she do? And she went and told the riddle to her countrymen. And this shows you how unfaithful she was. Immediately after she knew the answer, she went and told her countrymen. And the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what's sweeter than honey and what's stronger than life? They knew the answer. And now Samson had to get them 30 linen garments and 30 festal garments. في أماكن هنا قدام تفضل بدل ما توقفين ورا تفضل في أماكن هنا وممكن إن تيجي تقعدوا هنا ممكن تيجي تقعدوا هنا الصف ده أوكي ف so immediately she went and said the answer of the riddle to her countrymen and now Samson should get 30 linen garments and 30 festal garments to this man and what do you think God will help him yes God will help him and as you read in the same chapter verse 19 and the spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him and he was able to get the 30 linen garments and the 30 festal garments which show us how sometimes when we sin God still defend us and God was trying to help Samson to repent and to control his lust but Samson didn't benefit didn't learn from the long suffering of God from the patience from the endurance of God he didn't learn and after this Samson was very very angry and he went to his father's house and he left his wife what do you think what his wife's parent should advise her yeah now if Samson's wife went to her parent telling them that I deceived Samson my husband and I said the answer of the riddle to my countrymen so he was very angry and he left me what do you think what they should advise her yes exactly they should tell her you did something wrong you were not faithful to your husband go apologize to him and try to calm his anger but do you know what they did عشان أطلقوا I said they have no morals and they have no values see what they did يقول لك in hot anger Samson went back to his father's house and Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his best man so instead of advising her to go and apologize to her husband no قالوا لها يعني هو زعل اسمع تعال احنا نجوزك لهيس فريند and they give her to his companion who had been his best man that is the moral of this family as I told you he made his decision based only on physical attraction he didn't examine the moral or the spirituality or the values of this family and Samson waited and waited and waited to hear anything from his wife and he didn't and again he decided to go back to his wife so in chapter 15 verse 1 after a while at the time of wheat harvest Samson went to visit his wife with a kid يعني he took a gift with him and went to her of course he didn't know and she was given to his friend as wife so he went to visit his wife but his father told him but her father would not allow him to go in and her father said See, but listen here to see the morals of this family. The father said, I really thought that you utterly hated her. Okay. If he is utterly hated her, what should he do? He should advise your daughter to go and apologize to her husband. No. So, I give her to your companion. But then I can tell you, isn't her younger sister fairer than she? Pray, take her her sister instead. See the values of this family. Allah khalas, تتجوزت your wife now is married to your friend, so you can go and marry her sister. That is, as I told you, Samson made a wrong decision about marriage. That's why he suffered. And you know what? What was the threatening? The countrymen threatened his wife. If she didn't tell them, tell them the answer to riddle, what would they do to her? Huh? Burn her and her family. See what happened. طبعاً Samson, after he heard her father saying this, he told him, this time I shall be blameless in regard to Philistine when I do them mischief. And he went and he burned all the fields of the Philistines. So the Philistines asked it, Who did this? And they said, Samson, the son-in-law of the Temanite because he has taken his wife and given her to her companion. And the Philistines came up, verse 6, chapter 15. And the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. So she was burned. Yani, she deceived her husband and entices her husband lest her countrymen burn her. But what happened to her? She was burned. That is the result of unfaithfulness. Don't ever believe or think, if I am unfaithful, I will escape the consequences of my unfaithfulness. As the Bible says in the book of Numbers, be sure your sin will find you out. Your sin someday will find you out. This was a very hard lesson to Samson. But do you think Samson learned from this lesson? Unfortunately not. Because he didn't kill the lion in his life. He didn't control the lust. So what happened again? In chapter 16, verse 1, you will like, Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a harlot, and he went into her. Again, for the second time, he went to a harlot. Why? Samson, this mighty man, because he was controlled by his lust. And instead of learning from the patience of God, no, he didn't learn from the patience of God. And he took advantage. He thought that as long as God is forgiving him and defending him and saving him, so he can get away with his sin and with his lust. No. But again, God in this instant defended him. Because in verse 2, the Gazites were told Samson has come here. And they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They kept quiet all night, saying, let us wait till the light of the morning. Then we will kill him. But Samson waited till midnight. And at midnight he arose and took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that's before Hebron. Who helped him? That's God. So again, for the third or fourth time, God delivered Samson from his enemies. Why God is doing this? He's giving him opportunity. He's giving him a chance to repent and to control his lust. But did Samson learn? No, he didn't. What happened after this? Verse 4. After this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And this is the third woman in his life. And the Lord of Philistines came to her and said to her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to subdue him. And we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, please tell me wherein your great strength lies, and how you might be bound, that one could subdue you. He loved her, but she didn't love him. She preferred to take the money than to be faithful to Samson. And she started to entice him. And Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings which have not been dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. And Samson actually lied to her 3 times. He didn't tell her the truth. And in each time, she brought the Philistine to bind him. But again, God delivered him every time. So, at this moment, Samson should know, if he tell her the truth, she will deliver him to his enemies. Do you think he should tell her the truth? Of course not. But you know what? He told her the truth, wherein his strength lies. And when I read the story of Samson for the first time, I had difficulty with this part. Why? I didn't know How a smart person like Samson, and I'm saying he is smart because he was a judge to Israelites, which means he was able to judge among the people of Israel. So he had experience and he is very smart. How a smart person like Samson, after 3 times telling Delilah about the mystery of his strength, and she brings the Philistines to subdue him, and then he tells her the truth. I had difficulty to understand this, but I came to conclusion. What's the conclusion? That he was blind to the deception of Delilah. So sin blinds us. Sin makes us blind. We cannot see. زي مثلا واحد يقول لك ايه واحد يكون مثلا is taking drugs or taking marijuana or taking alcohol and he is addict. يقول لك no, انا I control myself and this drug or alcohol has, you know, doesn't destroy my life. I know how to stop it. And he doesn't know. And he tried 100 times to stop it and to quit, and he couldn't. But he is blind. He is blind. Or a person, مثلاً, with his girlfriend, or a girl with his her boyfriend, and doing a lot of mistakes together, and say, no, we can control ourselves. They are blind. Or they go to clubs and say, no, club doesn't influence us. They are blind. Sin blinds. Sin doesn't make us to see clearly. Samson was blind to the deception of his wife, to the deception of Delilah. She was trying to entice him, but he couldn't see it because he was blind. And what else? In verse 15, she said to him, how can you say, I love you, when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times, and you have not told me wherein your great strength lies. And when she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. His soul was vexed to death. She pressed him very hard day after day until his soul was vexed to death. What he should do? He should leave her. He should leave her. But he couldn't. You know why? Because he was bound to her. Because of his lust. He couldn't leave her. So sin blinds, and sin also does what? Sin binds. Sin bound Samson to Delilah. He couldn't leave her. Sin blinds. Sin binds. And the third point about sin, as the Bible says, his soul was vexed to death, which means he lost his integrity from inside. He wanted to die. He wanted to die because of the pressure. So actually, the sin of lust grinded him from inside. So we can say sin blinds, sin binds, and sin grinds. Sin blinds, sin binds, and sin grinds. So, after this, what happened? He told her all his heart. You are like that in verse 17, and he told her all his mind, and said to her, a razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I be shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And see, as I told you, he broke his 3 vows. The first vow, he broke it when he went to Timnah, to the vineyard. Second vow, he broke it when he touched the carcass of the lion. He was not allowed to touch any dead body. And the third vow, he broke it when he told her about the mystery of his strength. And maybe when he told her this, in his heart, he knows he's powerful. So he said to himself, if anybody came close to me to shave my hair, I will kill him first. So even if I told the harp all my mind, nobody can approach me because I know that I am mighty man. So if anybody approached me, I will kill him. But again, Delilah knew what his weakest point. So when Delilah saw that he had told her all his mind, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he has told me all his mind." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her, brought the money in their hands. And listen to this verse. She made him sleep upon her knees. Why? Because when she made him sleep upon her knees, he will be very, very weak. That's his weak point, the lust. Because if she told them, go and shift his head, he will kill all of them. But again, in this position, in this situation, he will be very weak. So Delilah knew his weak point. So she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him. Who was the first person to torment him? Unfortunately, it was Delilah. The person that he entrusted and the person that he loved was the first person to torment him. That's how the devil and sin mocks us. They mock us, torment him, and his strength left him. You know, the Lord protected Samson and delivered Samson many, many times. But the Lord now said to Samson, "You didn't learn the easy way. Maybe you will learn the hard way." Some people, unfortunately, don't learn the easy way. They learn the hard way. Samson didn't learn while God was delivering him and protecting him and saving him. He only learned it when God departed from him. And the message to all of us this night, it is better to learn the easy way. I know some people didn't start asking help to quit drugs or to quit or to get treated from alcohol except after they were in prison. Why? Why we wait until it is too hard and it's too difficult and God departs from us? Why don't we learn the easy way? But Samson didn't learn the easy way. He learned the hard way. So she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." And he did not know that the Lord had left him. Unfortunately, this time the Lord had left him because he broke his 3 vows. But why the Lord left him? Because he loved him. He wanted to save his soul. He wanted to save his spirit, to deliver him to his enemies. Maybe this will lead him to repentance. And actually, Samson repented. But repented after being delivered to his enemies. And the Philistines, verse 22, seized him, gouged out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with bronze fetters, and he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. You know, his enemies did 3 things for him. They gouged out his eyes. They made him blind. And they bound him with bronze fetters. And they made him grind in the prison. Do you remember I told you about sin? Sin does what? Sin blinds, and sin binds, and sin grinds. And now, he is physically blind. They gouged out his eyes. And he is bound with the bronze fetters. And also, he is grinding in the prison. Which means, his spiritual blindness led to his physical blindness. And his spiritual binding led to his physical binding. And his spiritual grinding led to his physical grinding. And he started to suffer from this lion, from the lion of lust. The lion of lust started to attack him.
to kill him, to destroy him. Although at the beginning, he was able to kill the lion, but he didn't submit himself to the Spirit of God in order to kill the spiritual lion, the lion of lust. And that's why the lust made him blind, both spiritually and physically. And the lust made him bound, both spiritually and physically. And the lust made him grinding, both spiritually and physically. Samson learned the hard way. And then they start to make fun of him. Of course, Samson was a very mighty man. And now, he lost his strength. So they start to mock him. Like verse 23, now the lords of the Philistines gathered to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hand. Of course, they are saying that Dagon their god delivered Samson to their hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has given our enemy into our hand. And when their hearts were merry, they said, call Samson that he may make sport for us. Call Samson that he may dance for us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he made sport before them. Then they made him stand between the pillars. And Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I might lean against them. And Samson at this time, he repented, and he prayed from his heart to God. He prayed a very short prayer, but it was very powerful. What did he say? He said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee. O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee. This reminds me with the prayer of the thief on the cross. Remember me, O Lord, when you come into your kingdom. When you are attacked with your lion, when any sin attacks you, pray this prayer. O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. O Lord God, strengthen me, I pray thee. God said, ask and you will receive. If Samson prayed before to God to help him to control his lust, God would answer. Ask and you will receive. And God answered Samson. And he was able to lean against the two pillars so that the whole building fell down. And in his death, he killed more people than what he killed during his life. And Samson repented. And St. Paul in Hebrews chapter 11 mentioned him in among the men of faith. So the story of Samson is the story of a person who was very mighty, but allowed one sin not to be under his control or under the control of the Spirit of God. And this one sin destroyed him. So don't take lightly if there is one sin in your life. Try to take it very seriously. And try to attack the lion in your life. To see what is the lion that's threatening your spiritual life and your eternal life. And try to kill it by submitting yourself to the Spirit of God. We are now fasting the Holy Great Fast. And the Holy Great Fast is the season of repentance. Try, let us examine our life. Let us see what are the lions that are threatening our spiritual life and our eternal life. And submit ourselves to God and say to God, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. O Lord God, strengthen me, I pray thee. And God will deliver us. And God will help us. And you can say with St. Paul, I can do all things in Jesus Christ who strengthens me. You will not anymore say, I cannot quit this sin. I cannot control this sin. No. Through the grace of God, you will be able to control and subdue everything in your life. Remember that if you don't repent, your sin will find you. Remember if you don't learn the hard, the easy way, you will learn the hard way. It is better to learn the easy way. Remember that sin blinds, sin grinds, and sin binds. But through the grace of God, we can conquer sin, and we can defeat it and overcome it, because God who is with us is stronger and mightier than those who are against us. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.